Hi, I'm Reverend Carol Saunders, host of the Spiritual Forum. I'm here with a lot of interesting people who are consciously walking the spiritual path, experiencing and expressing the divine in unique ways and through unique lenses. Everyone here has wisdom to share and an interesting story to tell, all to inspire you on your spiritual path. Welcome to the Forum. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Spiritual Forum. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited about my guest today, but first, I just want to acknowledge everyone who contributes to this podcast, everyone who shows up. I met my big milestone on YouTube and very, very happy for everybody who subscribed. And just as a reminder, this is a voice of hope, inspiration, and awakening in the world. So that's what we're about. And I have a broad spectrum of people from all over the world to share their spiritual experiences and or what they're doing on this planet to further consciousness, to raise consciousness and to awaken people to what we are here to do. So I want to introduce you to Liz Levodsky, and she is the executive director of Echo Challenge. And I'm just going to hand it over to her to tell us a little bit about more about her background and what she's up to. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. My background is not necessarily just environmental related. So I'm thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about myself and, of course, the organization in which I'm currently with. My background is actually in higher education and student affairs, and I really focused on how do we become ourselves? How do we find our own identities? And I wanted to work with that in a college level. But I've always had a passion for the environment. I grew up with my parents having us put a bucket underneath the shower faucet as we were waiting for the water to warm up and collecting all of that water. And then my mom would use that water to water the plants in the house and then also put water in our cat and dog bowls when we were growing up. So being aware of the environment has always been something that is a part of my life. And it's been something that I feel very lucky to have grown up with doing. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And then my family moved to just outside of Denver, Colorado. I currently live in Portland, Oregon. But in all of those areas, the environment and caring for the earth was a large part of my growing up. My dad is Catholic. I would go to Catholic church with my dad. My mom is Methodist. I would go to Methodist church with my mom. There was always the environment as a part of that as well in my life. So I came about it in a very different way. From my experience in working in higher education, my husband and I had an opportunity to work on a study abroad program with college students called Semester at Sea. And that is where there's a ship that takes college students around the world for 4 months. And it's a profound, life-changing experience. And it was a result of that 4 months at sea, 50 days at sea, 50 days in different countries around the world, that we really got to see how the rest of the world lives, holds its values, but also really about sustainability on the planet. And we were noticing how much stuff we have in the United States, how much stuff we consume. We were noticing a lot about our relationship to consumerism and our relationship to waste and our relationship to food as we were traveling around the world. That was in 2004. And it changed the course of both my husband and I's personal and professional lives. And I stayed in higher education, but I moved my focus to sustainability education. And I started working on college campuses doing sustainability awareness and education programming, which was really important for me because I would consider myself a lifelong learner. And I want to continue to always learn and grow and never think that I know it all. But seeing the world and how we are treating it and our relationship to it was just really a strong calling for me. So both of us changed our careers into the environmental field and did a brief stint in Edinburgh, Scotland, and then moved to Portland, Oregon for work. And I feel so lucky because when we moved here, I didn't have a job, but I knew of ecochallenge.org. At the time, it was called Northwest Earth Institute. So I started volunteering here and then was hired on and I've been with this organization now for almost over 12 years. And it's really continued to change my life. I really believe in the programs that we do and how we engage people. And I'd love to tell you more about our programs right now too, and who we are as an organization, if that's okay for my introduction.
Yeah, let's just pause for just a moment.
Okay.
Because I'd like to reflect on some of the things you said.
Sure.
And if we can go into that.
Yes.
I'm really excited to learning about that. First of all, I'm so happy to hear that your mom collected water in the bathtub. I think that's so amazing. I remember taking bags back to the grocery store back in the early 90s. Do you want a bag? No, I've got my own bags. My girls would just kind of like hang their heads and a little bit of shame because it's like, my mom's the only one that does this thing. Why are you doing this? But I think that's a really interesting thing that the little ways that we can really be role models for our children. And, you know, way before it was is kind of fashionable, I'd never thought about that with a shower. Why I didn't, I don't know. But what a great, great idea to capture that water that's just going down the drain. So yay to your mom for that.
I know.
Planting those seeds really early.
Yeah.
I love that. And I want to hear all about your program. But what I'd like to do is just provide my listeners a little bit of spiritual framework to this, because my view is, you know, no matter where you are in religion or spirituality, I think that it's pretty clear that our role, let's just say we take the story of creation, whether we believe that literally or we believe that symbolically, really in that story, the underlying energy under what created this earth, whatever you call it, source, God, whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't have to believe anything, but the story says that it was good. Every mm-hmm. aspect of creation was good.
Yes.
And then humankind comes on. Yes. And there's absolutely no way that this amazing energy that created everything said to humankind, hey, you can go and destroy it now. I mean, I'm just giving it to you. I said I loved it. I said it was good. But do whatever the heck you want with it. There's absolutely no way. Our real, I think, spiritual role is to take care of this amazing gift that we have and to be connected with the species and be connected with the trees and the plants and all animals and really just be in harmony. To me, that is what our spirituality calls us to be. And the fact that the earth is in the situation it's in, which I want you to describe in just a minute, I think it's just obviously evidence that we've lost track of who we are really and what we're here to do. So I just wanted to provide that little spiritual framework before you go on and tell us about the Echo Challenge program and the ways that we can contribute to that.
I couldn't agree more with you. And it reminds me of a book that Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu, wrote with his daughter, Mpo. It's called Made for Good or Made for Goodness. And I can't remember right now. It's over there right on my bookshelf. But it's a fabulous book. It is about the underlyingness that we are, all of us, we're created with that good in us. And that is the foundation of who we are and the world as well. And I think that sometimes when we lose ourselves in the vastness of challenges that we might face, that we begin to lose our connection to not only to each other and humanity, but then to the planet as well. And all of the things that our planet is suffering right now, including our human suffering, is connected. It's truly, sincerely connected. And climate change is connected to human health and well-being. Our mental health is connected to the environment and to our ability to access the environment, whether that be through physical space. Do we have the ability to connect through physical space? Do we have the ability to connect with the environment through time? Do we have that time? Do we have that ability? All of it is so connected. So hearing you say that makes me feel really excited because it's so true. It's really true on so many levels. So thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm also interested. Let's move on to
sure.
hearing about what the Echo Challenge is and what people can do.
Yeah, so our work is really rooted, and it has been since 1993. So we've been around for 30 years. And our work is grounded and rooted in individual behavior change and reflecting on our relationship with nature and our relationship with stuff. We approach our programs in a way that is non-prescriptive, non-judgmental, non-political. We're not going to tell you what's good or bad or right or wrong. We want to meet people where they're at in a very sincere way. And we invite everyone to participate in our programs. The particular program that I'd like to share with you today, and we have many, we've got discussion books that people can explore. We have an online program right now, though, that I want to share, and that is our Earth Month Eco Challenge. You can find it at earthmonth.ecochallenge.org. It's a free online program that we are offering for the month of April. So April 1st through the 30th, you can join at any time in the month of April. The idea is that you would join a team or create a team. So you could create a team for your family, for your neighborhood, for your congregation, for your workplace, for your school, wherever you find community and connection, you can create a team. If you don't want to do that, you can join our community team. We've got over 900 people on there right now, and it's really fun. But it's a space where we're going to ask people for the month of April to select one or more actions that they want to take during the month to either learn more about the planet, and this year's theme is conservation. So learn more about why conservation is important and how you can take action in conservation and conservation ways to support the planet. Or you can take actions that are daily actions designed to help you create a new habit. So maybe you're someone who likes to go to your local coffee shop every day and get a cup of tea or coffee. That's wonderful to do. And maybe you always get a single-use coffee cup, and that's okay too. There's no judgment around that. Of course you're going to, because that's the world we're in. But if you can start to change your habit ever so slightly to where you can remember to take a reusable mug, or ask them for a reusable mug that you can enjoy while you're there and then return to the counter before you leave, you start to build a habit that aligns with environment a little bit more as well, where you're creating less waste and you're practicing better for the planet. And same thing with the water, you know, catching the water from the faucet before you shower. That could be a practice that you try, because then you could see, oh my gosh, I really use a lot of water when I'm waiting for my water to heat up. And that's okay. A lot of us are doing that. A lot of us are letting that water run because that's what we're used to doing. Maybe we need to turn off the water when we're brushing our teeth. It's things like that that can truly add up. And one of the beauty parts of our, the strengths, I would say, of our platform is when you select your action to say what you want to do, then you can come back and tell us when you've completed your action. And then your action card flips over on your screen and it says, yay, congratulations. But then it shows you the impact of your action. What did you just do? Did you just prevent one coffee cup from going into the landfill? Cool. Do it again. And then you go and you do it again. And then you can see, okay, you know, sometimes people say, well, Liz, that's all well and good. Maybe I changed 5 light bulbs in my house to more energy efficient light bulbs. Maybe I cut my showers by 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You know, maybe the things that I'm doing feel significant to me, but are they really making a difference? And on our site, you can go to the collective impact page. And last year we had over 17,000 people participating in our Earth Month event. So this year we have over 3,000 people registered as of today. The number's going to keep growing because right now we're in the registration period. But if you go to the impact page, then you see, oh, there's other people that did a reusable coffee mug and saved a cup from going into the landfill. Oh, there's other people that changed light bulbs in their houses. So if you change 5 light bulbs, but 1,400 other people changed 5 light bulbs, then 1,400 times 5, and there you go. And you see that your individual action truly does matter on a daily basis, even if you don't know the other people in the world who are taking those actions. You have to be confident, and we are confident, that people around the world every single day are taking these environmentally friendly actions to make a difference in the planet. So we are never alone in doing the good that we are designed and meant to do.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned this. A couple things. One is habits are really hard to break, and definitely the spiritual path. I'm always sharing that we are so conditioned. We have so much conditioning, like the single use plastic. If mom did that, we do that. Sure. We do that. Our kids do that, and that's how our habits are formed. We're not really even reflecting and thinking. Is there something else that we could be doing?
Right.
And so to be able to pull back just a little bit to observe ourselves to question everything that we're just habitually doing.
Yeah.
I think that's where the opening is. You have to have this willingness to be able to question everything that you do, because so much of it is condition. I absolutely love that you guys aren't judgmental, nor that you're taking some sort of political stance, because there's so much division in this world.
Yes.
And the last thing we need is to have anything that divides us from keeping the momentum going to help sustainability and help the environment, help our planet, and have it be something, some division about politics or religion or something like that. It's so easy to do, and it's a ridiculous waste of time, and it's not effective.
100%. I completely agree. And actually, our theme, it says Earth Month Eco Challenge, colon, conservation, but I would go so far as to say as the theme is really around conservation and connection. We want to bring people together in new ways. And it is, it's just so important. And there are actions on there that say to call or email a public official to advocate for something that you're passionate about. But that's where it's left. You know, so we want you to engage and use your voice in a way that's important to you. And we want to remind each other that we are more alike than we are disalike. And so we really want to, bring people together. I think all of us can care about the planet. All of us can care about wanting the best for our families, for our communities, for the people that we love. And if we begin to understand environmental issues today, kind of like an iceberg. We use an iceberg in our work. So an iceberg model. So if you picture an iceberg, what's happening is the tip of the iceberg. We might feel overwhelmed if we hear about climate change. If we don't even know how we feel about climate change, is it real? Is it not real? I don't know. I feel overwhelmed. This feels very big. Or if we feel like, yes, it is real. And we know that we have to do something. All of us are feeling different things because we hear about climate change. We hear about the stresses that people are experiencing. And we are experiencing stresses every day in our own lives. But if we start to, I have a three-year-old. I always tell him, let's take a deep breath and let's try to slow down. And sometimes, again, the luxury of time is not always with us. But when we can find it, let's take a deep breath. Let's slow down and let's look. What is the tip of the iceberg and what's underneath it? What are habits? What are patterns and trends that I am participating in that I don't even realize sometimes about single-use plastics or, you know, just living the way I've always lived without questioning some things? What are mental models that I have that continue to support what I'm doing and not helping me change my behaviors and change my pattern? It's just really important that we start to be mindful of that and recognize we can't do it 100% of the time. It's very hard, but change is possible. Changing our behavior is possible, especially when you set yourself up to be set up for success. And that's why we have our challenges. Our eco challenges are 30 days. So our Earth Month Eco Challenge is the month of April. And we want, there is research around behavior change theory and behavior change research that says if you do something for 30 days, some people say 21 days, some people say 2 weeks, but we're sticking with the 30 days. If you do something for 30 days, then you're more likely to change your habit and to change your behavior to create a new habit. So that's what we want to encourage. And we're never going to be perfect with it. But as soon as we start to get into a rhythm, it's just kind of like exercise. So many of us strive to be healthier, to eat healthier, to exercise more. Well, you try and sometimes you get really far and then you get further and further because you're making yourself stronger and more aware and more committed. And sometimes you take a step backwards because life throws you different curveballs. And that's the same thing with changing our habits for the planet and being aligned more intentionally with the environment. So we want to build that space on our platform to help people be successful. And for the past 15 years of this program has only been around for 15 years, but we've been successful in doing that.
That's really, really great to hear. What I think happens with people, and I'm sure you know this too, but I think people get overwhelmed also, like, as you mentioned, I can do this, but unless everybody does it, it's not going to count. And so then I'm not going to do it. I've seen this happen many times. I'm just one person. Unless everybody changes, nothing big is going to change. And so what's the point? But you guys are helping people see that one person matters and a group matters and a bigger group matters. And this is what we can all do together.
Yes. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. And part of that is because the systems in which we are a part of are designed to help us live faster and fuller and easier with our disposable stuff and with our newest, latest and greatest technology. And, you know, our world is designed to be faster paced and to be that kind of, I don't want to, a little bit of throwaway culture, a little bit of like, oh, it does, you know, when you're done with it, you're just done with it. So it takes work sometimes. And that's why I think also within our work, we really encourage people to reflect on, where are you most interested to make change? Are you most interested and capable in your personal life? Are you most interested and capable in your, I would say like local community, whatever that means to you, you define that. Or are you more interested and able to elicit change at a civic level? We need people creating change at all different levels. And it's most important and easier to do, I think, when we start with ourselves to think about, okay, how am I trying to change? What am I trying to do? And what's my reaction to that? Because some of us might be super resistant to change too. And I think that's where we can rely on our communities to really help us and to learn from each other and to support each other and to say, okay, yeah, I'm trying to do this too. And gosh, it's really hard, but that's the power of community in this process. And not everyone is going to be taking the same action, but everyone is on our Eco Challenge site is going to be saying, I'm committed to action. We might not be doing the same things, but I know that it's equally hard for you as it is for me doing some of these changes in our life, because change is hard sometimes.
Change is hard. It does feel like we're in this big system and that we're stuck in the construct and the structure of the system. I mean, I think that's just small things like I have publishers approach me for their authors to be on my podcast. And I say, great, send me the book. And I do ask for a paper book because I read better on a paper book than
me too. Yep, me too.
On the screen. But then it comes in a box, understandably. But why does it come with plastic wrapped around it? And it's like, I didn't ask for that. Yeah. And then now I've got this big piece of plastic. I've got another one. And I'm really personally wrestling with all this plastic that I get in the mail. And I think what I'm going to try to do is just make a request. It may or may not go anywhere, but just make a request. Please, I don't even care if the book comes damaged. Just don't use plastic. I have a feeling, though, that it's a system. It's a structure that just happens that they don't have control over.
Right.
So I guess in that case, maybe what I do is just, I can see if I have control over that. If I don't, then can I pick something else?
Yes. Or if you ever write a book that's published and you can talk with your publisher and say, please make sure that whatever printing or shipping firm or whatever we're using, that my book is shipped in cardboard with no plastic of any kind. You know,
there
like
you
there's,
go.
There's different ways that we can, exactly, that you say that we can realize, okay, so what can I choose to try to change and what can I not, you know? As I said, I have a 3-year-old. When we were getting rid of his crib, which our crib was our neighbor's grandson's crib. So I think it was like probably made the year I was born and definitely not up to safety codes now, but was a perfectly fine crib for my son to be in, you know? Anyway, we were done with it and I was trying to find what to do with it. And Goodwill will not take it. A lot of donation places would not take it. And they said, we won't take it for safety reasons. We don't know what you've done with that crib. And I said, okay. And so I called our local, again, I'm based in Portland, Oregon right now. And we are very, I think we do a great job. We have our curbside trash, household trash is picked up every other week. And then we have hold composting and recycling picked up every week. So I called our local trash and recycling hotline thinking, okay, they're going to have an answer for me. And I said, I've got a crib. And they were like, yeah, landfill. And I said, no. And they said, we don't have any other resources for you. And I said, I refuse for that to be the answer that you give me. And I'm really bummed that it is. And I'm bummed that anybody else who's calling with this, that's the answer that they get. So I held on to that crib for as long as I could, to my husband's frustration, because it was taking up space in our house. But I found a community nonprofit that was working with immigrants coming into the state who needed household things. And I called them and they said, it's perfect timing. We just had a family today with a baby looking for a crib and we're setting them up with a new house and furnishings. And I took it over right away. And I feel so grateful knowing that that crib is now with another family because it's perfectly safe and perfectly fine. And it is decades old, but it frustrated me. That was a part of the system that really frustrated me for a moment. And there's no one person to blame. I'm not blaming anyone at all, because it's just a part of where we're at in the United States society right now. So it took me, I did have to carve out time. I did have to find resources, but I was really committed to it because I just, for myself, I couldn't put the crib in the landfill. Now I know that other people will put the crib in the landfill because they have other things that are wearing on them and super priority and important to them. And I understand that too. Again, we're not judging anyone. This is all about our personal journey. But what was important for me was that aha moment that I took time to say, wait, let's learn about this, Liz, and let's learn more about what the, you know, what I'm going through, what I'm trying to do, and understand some of the systems that are set up. So again, it's hard, but what on our platform, you don't have to do anything. That's not an action you have to take. It's more about those actions that you can do on a daily basis. Or like I said, there's a one-time action. We offer daily actions to help you change your habits. And then we offer one-time actions to help you learn about what are conservation issues that are happening around the world right now. What are documentaries that you can watch to help you understand, you know, how does palm oil connect to your food? And let's think about food. I mean, food and spirituality is huge. We have an entire discussion book called Menu for the Future based on our relationship with food. And there's a chunk in there around spiritual connections to food as well as spiritual practices. And so, you know, just even taking time to think about food waste, preparation, you know, all of that, I think is really important because it can connect with you on a personal level, a spiritual level, and with the environment.
I completely agree. We're so divorced from where our food comes from, how it gets here, what the environmental impact of all of it and the communities where it's being produced and everything. There's so much there.
Yep.
Yeah. Really, I'd love to pivot a little bit too. Sure. You talk about the different areas of conservation because I personally feel that people have a lot of attention put on climate change. When I was growing up, there were other real environmental issues going on. And I feel like we've lost track with some of these other things going on about water deforestation. And I mean, you'll know more than I. But can you kind of share what some of these conservation efforts are that maybe people have lost touch with or aren't as aware of as they are of, like, for example, climate change?
Yes, I think water issues are huge. Pollution in water, how we're disposing of our medicines, not only plastic, single-use plastic, like everyone, not everyone, a lot of people have heard about single-use plastics ending up in the oceans or ending up in our rivers and streams. But it's not only single-use plastics. If we're flushing medication down the toilet or if we're pouring cooking oil down the sink and in larger amounts, not only are you going to have a backup issue in your house, you're also really hurting the water and your local watershed. So I know that water is a huge issue. And biodiversity is a really big issue as well, especially around when we're talking about climate change. It's almost the new up-and-coming topic around climate change, especially with, you know, people think about, okay, if we're going to build, then we need to have more energy efficient buildings. We need to have smarter buildings. We need to have greener buildings. We need to have less pollutants. All of that is so true. And we need to continue on that path. But we also need to think about the biodiversity around the building and the area of where we're putting up a building, even if it's a new building. How are we supporting biodiversity? I think another huge issue around conservation is our food and how we're growing our food now. Our root systems are so much on the surface now. We're not growing our perennial foods anymore with deep, deep, deep roots to get nutrients from the soil. And so instead we kind of, you know, clear it all every year. And then we just have the nutrients just kind of live at the top of the soil and they're wiped away and then they're put there, but then the roots just kind of stay there and don't really go anywhere else. And we really need to have different food systems. You know, regenerative agriculture is kind of a new thing right now coming up for a lot of people and how we're producing food, not just in volume, but in the quality of food. So there's a lot of things. Let's see, our categories this year, when we are doing Earth Month Eco Challenge, we're asking people to select actions in certain categories. And those categories are freshwater and oceans, land and forest, climate and air, and biodiversity and wildlife. And then we have a track around community as well. So things that you can do in your community and together. Thinking about bees, thinking about, you know, saving the bees is a big thing. I feel like bees come up in our news every now and then where it's like, where did all the bees go? And then, oh, the bees are back. And then we don't really think about it anymore. One of the experts that we were talking with as we were building this said to me, Liz, do you remember growing up? Because I grew up in Ohio and then moved to Colorado. And we would drive back from Colorado to Ohio every summer to see my grandparents. And she would say, and did you ever remember summers where you were driving and driving, driving, and your windshield was just splattered with bugs, just so many bugs? And I said, oh, yeah, I totally remember that. It was really gross as a kid. And I was like, wow, there's just so many bugs out there. And she said, and when was the last time you did a road trip? And I said, well, I did a road trip last summer. And she said, and how many bugs did you have on your windshield? Like we are affecting biodiversity in the smallest to this nth degree with these insects and bugs. Like we are changing their patterns. We are changing their seasons and we are eliminating some of them. And so we don't go into that much depth with these actions in our Earth Month Eco Challenge, but that is the type of thing that is coming up now in conversations that I'm hearing, even in a business perspective and local community conservation perspectives, that we're really changing things by how we're landscaping, by how we're building, by how we're just moving through the world. And we need to really remember we've got an essential need to have the biodiversity in our world because it helps keep the ecosystem in balance.
Yeah. Now, when you say biodiversity, are we talking about, and we're talking about obviously the diversity of all of the species, but species extinction is a big thing that's kind of going on. I think people are really blind to that.
Absolutely. And it starts, you know, like with the bees. Are we losing a certain kind of bees? There's the pine beetle. The pine beetle's moving more north. I mean, there are species that are going extinct, but then there are species that are also moving to places that they've never lived before and changing the health of trees that we see in our state. And like invasive species could be entering in our states too, because things are just moving and shifting. And we might be feeling like, oh, this weather's so weird and the climate is, you know, what's going on? But we aren't only feeling that, though, are the plants and animals around us that live outside that we don't even realize are also feeling that too.
I think it really gets back to who are we in relationship to all other beings, because we have this attitude like, I want to build a house, I want to build a business, whatever it is, I want to put a building here. And then we have all these codes and maybe they're environmental or whatever, but we're not stopping and going, you know, do I even belong here? and who am I impacting? And I'm not just impacting the McDonald's next to me and the Wendy's on the other side or whatever, or the apartment complex that's down the road. You know, who lives here? And I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm living in a house and you know, there's a foundation that my house is on and everything. So I'm not saying that everybody's wrong for building, but it is something that we completely forget that everything that's here, everyone who's here is not a nuisance. They also have family. They belong here. They have lineages here. Yeah. And now we're saying, move out, you know, here I am. And I think that is really because we're in this modern structured society, as you've mentioned, but we've lost track of who I am in relationship to the creatures, to the animals, to the bugs, to the plants, to everybody. And I think it can get overwhelming because it does kind of get down to, well, I do need a house. Sure. What am I going to do?
Sure.
And so I guess.
But do you need a perfectly green lawn that you're watering all the time?
Yeah.
And do you need to fertilize outside? And, you know, fertilizing gets into our water streams and really impacts bugs. And I understand. I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying. And even building a new road in a neighborhood. Well, what's the travel pathway of local animals in your area? Like, did you just build a new street where they usually cross and now you're feeling like frustration because, oh, there's deer crossing on our street all the time and I have to slow down, or, you know, whatever. Well,
yeah, what are they doing here?
They were probably crossing there before the street was put in. You know, there's lots of things like that. But I think also it's about, can we live a little bit more connected with nature? Can we not have perfectly manicured and landscaped yards? Can we, here's another one. Can we advocate for our streetlights to be turned down and to be dimmer? Now, I'm not suggesting that we compromise the safety of our people and communities, but for bird migration, there's a whole bunch of light pollution. Light pollution is huge when it comes to wildlife, when it comes to the health and well-being of wildlife. Sound pollution is huge when it comes to the health and well-being of wildlife. I just read a fascinating book called The Nature Fix, where she does some different studies. And part of it is around when animals in the wild hear airplanes go over they reduce their capacity to hear by 30%, which means any predator to that animal can get 30% closer. You know, we produce a lot of pollution, whether it be light pollution, noise pollution, you know, the air pollution that we breathe. So just thinking about how can we live more in harmony with nature? What does nature and wildlife need in the area that I'm in? I know when I lived in Tucson, we lived in Arizona, they had all the lights were turned over and dim because of the night sky, and there were, and you know, birds and all of that. And it was just really important to me and really powerful to see, okay, here's a small thing that we can do, or feels small to me, that we can do to really help the world around us. And it allowed me to see the night sky in a different way, which was so beautiful. Because when you're in a big city, you can't really see the night sky sometimes. So, you know, even thinking about things like that can be something important for us to consider.
Yes. So will you explain that to me again? Are you talking about the street lights?
Yep.
That they're able to street actually lights. Move down
mm-hmm.
so that, it, okay. And that
dim
it
them.
Helps the birds?
Yep.
Okay.
And
dim
then
them.
Also
okay.
dim them, because that helps with light pollution for the night sky, for animals in the area. Yep, absolutely. And you can just, they don't have to be as bright as they are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Again, I'm not
yeah.
trying to compromise anyone's safety at all. So I would encourage anyone who's curious about it to look at cities who are doing it already to see how do we take human safety into consideration with that.
Yeah. Recently, there was a big deal in Chicago. I think it was last year, where the McCormick Center, which is this huge convention center, they had their lights on at night, and all of these migrating birds, these cute little yellow birds, just all smashed in. I mean, there were thousands of them dead on the ground. And then there are petitions that are going around. And I think just working with them, they did decide that they would keep the lights dimmed or down at night. It was just such a catastrophe. But that, I think that's an example that people could take action when they hear about things and just do what you can to make that change. Now, I have a friend, I just want to share this. I have a friend who doesn't drive at night because she doesn't want to kill moths on her windshield.
Well, there you go.
Isn't
moths
that
are
sweet?
Incredibly important too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, I think that, like, holding on to something like that and talking about it with people might be like, oh, I've never thought of that, or I didn't know. That's really important too. One of the actions that we ask in every category is share your why. Why are you taking action? What is important to you? And what's beautiful is that there's so many different answers, and they're all right and real and important. So that's one thing that we ask people is like, okay, yeah, tell us your why and think about that. One of the other actions is biodiversity and me. And I'll read the description really quickly. It says, I will spend at least blank minutes. So on our site, you can determine how many minutes you want to spend each day researching what biodiversity is, how biodiversity positively impacts our world, and how the loss of biodiversity harms it. I will share what I learn on our feed. So someone could say, okay, I'm going to sign up for Earth Month Eco Challenge. I'm going to do that one action. I'm going to spend 10 minutes every day learning something more about biodiversity. And then you walk away knowing so much more. And the impact that you see, because people I know, some people are like, but I want to do it for the medal, Liz. I want to do it for the points and for the win. So the impact that you see is how many minutes you've spent learning. And we think that is incredibly valuable as well. So along with how many light bulbs are changed or zero waste meals are created and cooked, you're also going to see how many minutes were spent learning by all these thousands of people participating, because that is also something that's incredibly important. I think that whenever we're thinking about the planet and how we might live more harmoniously and in tune, because I firmly believe personally and professionally that in order for humans to really be as healthy as we can be, the planet needs to be healthy. And for the to be mm-hmm. healthy, you know, if the planet's super healthy, then humans are healthier as well. There's still many things we can do to not be as healthy, but we are more likely to be healthier. And that is very, very much connected. So one of the things I really encourage people is when you're thinking about, oh gosh, someone asked me to do this eco challenge, or maybe I really want to, or maybe it's time that I think about doing something, or I want to learn more about this. stay with the curiosity. I think that's going to take us further in all things, whether you're talking about health and well-being, you're talking about the environmental issues, you're talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, you're talking about space. I mean, anything, just stay with the curiosity and let it take you somewhere. Be curious about that. Don't brush it off to the side. I know that sometimes we might need to take a pause. We might need to feel frustrated. We might need to say, I can't do this right now. I'm overwhelmed with something else. But go back to that curiosity and say, I don't really understand what they mean about biodiversity. So I'm going to look into it a little bit more. I don't know what they mean about why, not using fertilizer on my lawn is so bad. Like, oh, well, I'm going to learn about it a little bit more. And then I'm going to make a decision for myself, because you get to make the decision for yourself, you know, with every action you take and everything that you learn about. So just keeping that in mind, I think, is really fun, because it's a super fun event for people to do. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be a huge burden. It's about having fun and seeing how much change we can make together and seeing how easy it can be. We can always make our lives harder for ourselves. We're really good at that. But we can also make things easier and fun, though, too.
Yeah, and I could see how people go, oh gosh, eco challenge is another thing. I don't have time to do this other thing. But I just love what you say about curiosity, because that's such a playful place to be. And it when you release judgment and just stand in this place of curiosity or wonder, you know, it's like that childlike wonder. It almost expands time.
Yes.
It almost expands time. It's not like this is burden. I'm in curiosity. I'm going to learn something. And then when you do learn something, I know for me, when I learn something, then, wow, sometimes I get way on fire about it. Now I'm a spokesperson for it. Now right. I want to tell everyone about it.
Yes.
But I know that can be imposing at times, because not everybody's completely willing. But there's also a skill to discern, is there a light here where people might be interested in this? And this is where I see this really happening. So your Echo Challenge has this, you know, tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands of people. And then they all become little beacons of light, and then they share their light with more people. And I just see this expanding and expanding. And I do think this is where change is going to happen, rather than it being imposed on people.
Yes.
Like, you have to do this. People resist that.
Yes.
Nobody likes that.
No, I completely agree. We're going to do it more successfully and more sincerely if we can do it at our own pace and our own time. But if we're invited in, if we're not prescribed it, if we're not said, you have to do this. And some of us, you know, there's different scenarios in our life where if you were like, oh, I was told I had to do it and I ended up really liking it, you know, but this isn't one of those times. This is about, hey, let's challenge yourselves in an appropriate, fun way. And let's have that curiosity and let's see what we can do together. We do have on our site competition. So if you wanted to compete against another team, you could. You do earn points for every time that you check in. So we do make it, you know, gamified a little bit for people who, again, who are like, I want the points.
The competitive.
Yeah, I want the reward, you know, all of that. That's fine. We will have some prizes, not a ton, because we don't want to perpetuate too much stuff in the world, but we are going to have some prizes. But it's really about let's do something together. Let's do something, even if it's by ourselves, you're still doing something with the collective to really impact the planet this month.
Yeah, it just sounds so great. Do you want to share another couple of the challenges that people might take?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. There's volunteer in my community, you know, so you can just even say how many hours you're going to volunteer in your community. And you can do that one time through the challenge, or you could do that more. Some people might be interested in this. Again, we've got a spectrum of actions. Invest in nature. A healthy world needs both our daily actions and support from larger systems. I will spend blank minutes learning about how I can use my investment and savings to advance environmental sustainability. So that's something where you can just learn about. And let me give you a little bit more. Go back to, let's do a land and forest action. Let's see here. Along with planting trees, keep my community clean. At times, it may not feel like it's up to us to keep our community clean and healthy, but we all have a role to play. Each day I'm outside, I will pick up any litter that I see. Here's one, a zero waste day. The impacts of our waste are far-reaching. I will create zero waste for an entire day and share my reflections and learnings on the feed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. do a personal waste audit. So each day I will track the waste I create in a day and post a photo on the log or the feed to see how much I create and where I can make a different choice to reduce my waste going forward. 30 for 30. This is about spending 30 minutes a day in outside each day for the challenge. So can you go eat your lunch outside for 30 minutes? Can you go for a 30-minute walk?
Let's see.
Compost your food. Regenerative agriculture is focusing on farming and ranching in a way that supports life and restores the soil. I will spend blank minutes learning about regenerative agriculture and if there's any nearby farms practicing that. Let me give you one from Freshwater and Oceans. Join a cleanup effort. Like either create a cleanup effort or join a local nonprofit in your area for a cleanup effort. Go plastic free. Conduct a plastics audit of what you buy and try to go plastic free, single-use plastic free. Use a reusable water bottle. It says it's estimated over 1 billion water bottles are thrown away each year. Even if they were recycled, that still uses energy and resources from the earth. So I will use a reusable water bottle instead and stop purchasing bottled water. Here's one, dishwasher efficiency. Hand washing dishes can use more energy and hot water than a dishwasher. So to save water, a lot of people don't know that. To save water, I will use a dishwasher and scrape my food off my plate rather than rinse dishes before loading them into the dishwasher. So there's lots
to learn.
Yeah, there's just lots of different things, lots of different actions that people can take.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing some of those. It kind of brings it home. And I know there are some people out there that would say, this isn't enough. You know, everything's going down the tubes. We only have so much time and it's not enough. It's not enough. But it's like, it is what we can do. I mean, what do you say to those people?
Yeah, I smile big because my husband works in this field, but he works with large corporations doing different levels of things. So he and I have that lively conversation in our household often. And it is enough. It absolutely moves the needle. And the reason why I believe that and know that 100% of my being knows that and believes that is because I also know that there are other people working at the systems level, working to change government policies, working to change business practices, working to change what businesses are allowed to do or not allowed to do, what they're held accountable to doing. So I know that there are people working at every level of the iceberg, every level of the system to create change that we need to create a more sustainable, healthy planet for everyone. And even the latest IPCC report, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has said we need to act quickly, but in order to accelerate, we need individuals to take action. That was their latest report. And they haven't really reported on individual behavior change in the past. So this was a really profound moment when we were all of us working in behavior change thinking, finally, yes, you do see that in order for change to really happen, it takes us all to get on board and from all different areas of the system. So it does matter. It absolutely matters. And we can't all be perfect all the time. You know, last night I hand washed a lot of dishes. And I was aware of that. I tried to do that more cold water. You know, I was like, oh gosh, what are you doing, Liz? We have to do the best we can as often as we can. And it matters. It really, really does.
Yeah, do the best we can, as much as we can. Not beat ourselves up for the times where we're not being perfect. But I also want to cycle all the way back to the beginning when you told the story of your mom and the buckets in the shower. Because as all of us are individually taking these, what might look like small actions, were role models for the next generation who may be doing it already anyway, but perhaps they aren't. And that's where it really expands so that people see individual action and it's not just one person taking it. It ends up having a ripple effect,
Absolutely.
The butterfly effect.
And if we're so used to, you know, buying single-use Ziploc bags, and that's just a part of what we're doing, or we're used to throwing things away, using things once and throwing them away because that was kind of how we were raised or that was how we were brought up and just part of our lives that we kind of held on to because that's what we know. We can start to change that going forward for ourselves And if we have little ones living in our house and homes and apartments and complexes as well in our communities, we can change that for them too. It just because it's been this way for us for a long time doesn't mean that we can't start to implement change now for ourselves mm-hmm. and for future generations, because we still have life to live here too, you know?
We do. And I mean, we just got to hold the vision of this planet where we're all interconnected and loving each other. That's my vision. I want to give you the last word. Whatever you want to tell people that we haven't covered, tell them more about how they can get connected to the Echo Challenge or anything else.
Yes, you can learn more about all of our programs at ecochallenge.org. You can learn more and sign up for the Earth Month Eco Challenge at earthmonth.ecochallenge.org. We've worked with many, many, many spiritual communities of all faiths over the years in our discussion course books and our eco challenges. We would love to connect with you. You could also email me directly. My name is Liz. My email address is liz@ecochallenge.org. But we're very grateful for your listeners today and considering visiting our site, considering joining the Earth Month Eco Challenge. And I just ask you, even if it's one action, consider joining our community team and sign up for one action that you can do in April, because it matters. It really matters. It really makes a difference. And we'd love to have you there. And we would love to hear from you, hear how your experience is, hear what questions you have. So thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a true pleasure talking with you and being able to share our organization that I love so much. So thank you very much.
Yeah, one action. And it also seems like that's also an opportunity to maybe create new community.
Absolutely.
Which is also so important in this world now, is to connect with more and more like-hearted, like-minded people. And because people are looking for a community. They may have a church community, they may have a work community, but this could be a whole nother community. And there's so much good that comes out of forming new communities and new connections. And
absolutely.
Especially if you have similar visions and all. So I love that. I started off by saying this is a podcast of hope, inspiration, and awakening. And I think that this message, Liz, is all about all three of those. I think you've really inspired people to take action. I think we have a lot of hope for what's possible. And we are awakening, I think, to our true role, our true essence on this planet, which is to take care and to nurture all of creation, mm-hmm. not just our human family.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
I appreciate you too. And thank you, listeners. And I'll have all of your links on the show notes. And hopefully we'll get some people signing up from this. So
sounds wonderful.
We'll find out about it. Thank you, everyone. And I now close the Spiritual Forum. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, you can let me know by leaving a positive rating and review on your favorite podcast app, or make a tax-deductible donation at thespiritualforum.org. The Spiritual Forum is a podcast, prayer, and retreat ministry affiliated with Unity Worldwide Ministries. Thank you again for being a part of the Spiritual Forum community. And remember, you are an amazing, divine, and powerful being.